Future's End. Welcome, time travelers, to another episode of the Comic Book Time Machine. Here I am, Matt Anderson, joined by...
time traveler Daniel Butcher.
All right, Daniel. Well, today we are going to be talking about an event that's happening in DC. Actually, currently, but we are going to flash back to look at some episodes that... or some issues that came out, some in September of 2014, one in May of 2014.
See, we keep talking about going back, but for me... This is traveling to the future.
What do you mean by that?
Because I've only read three of these now.
Because three of these futures end
because I'm waiting for a trade.
Okay. How do you think the trade is going to be presented? Like, do you think it will be a trade just full of each of these individual issues? Or maybe we should talk first about what...
Yeah, well, I don't know because I'm not even sure. Was it an entire month where everything went away and was replaced with these?
Let's talk about Future's End. What do you know about it? And then I'll fill in the blank. Because I think I'll be doing most of the talking today because I've read most of the issues.
So
tell me what you know about Future's End.
So what I know about Future's End is I was reading Aquaman. And then I came in to get my comic from my pull box. And it had a lenticular cover. And it was 5 years in the future.
So do you know what Future's End is?
The next week I came back and did the exact same thing. And it was my Aquaman and the Others. Yeah, I know what Future's End is. I've read number one or zero or whatever.
You read the free comic book?
Okay. Yeah, the free comic book
date. So set the stage. What happened? So let's just start there. I actually have the date here. That came out on May 7th, 2014. That is free comic book day. So talk about what happened in that issue.
Well, the Batman Beyond.
Oh, wait. Should we say all spoilers?
All spoilers.
All spoilers.
All spoilers. Batman Beyond. Terry was working with Batman in a world where everything's gone horribly, horribly wrong, and every superhero looks O'Mackie-like, and many of them have disappeared, but good old Bruce Wayne, he's got a plan.
Yes.
He's going to go back into the past, and he's going to stop himself from creating O'Mack.
Boy, I wasn't a Brother Eye.
Oh, yeah, that's correct, Brother Eye.
Yeah, so all of them look Brother Eye-ish, not O'Mack-ish.
No, did they all? I think they all look O'Mack-ish.
Isn't Brother Eye kind of the robot?
Brother Eye is the satellite, and he controls O'Mack.
I thought O'Mack was the blue guy with the mohawk.
He is, but he more than one person can be an O'Mack.
Yeah, but if you look at the issue cover, they're all kind of cyborg with a big eye.
Yeah, but sure.
Let's just say they're somehow turned into zombies almost.
Yeah.
They are no longer in control.
And Bruce Wayne's going to go back and he's going to stop himself from creating Brother Eye to keep this from occurring. And what happens is when he can't go back, he was medically too fragile, he gets shot or something. So he sends Terry back.
Terry McGinnis, Batman Beyond.
And instead of coming back to before the creation of Brother Eye, he lands 5 years into the future of New 52.
It's too late. So that sets up... And actually, I thought, as... We'll talk about... I'll give some descriptions of all these different issues, but when it comes to that first issue, I guess you could say issue zero, that was probably the best story of all of these that we're going to talk about. And it was the free one.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. And I don't think you said this, but that story is set 35 years in the future, and then he travels back 30 years, which is 5 years from where we're at right now in the DC universe.
Are you confused? That's the thing about time traveling. It's confusing.
So before we go into each of these individual issues, the thought that I'm having is that this is a possible future, and they're treating it like it's a big deal, but they're obviously going to change things so that Brother Eye isn't in control of the whole world and all the heroes aren't turned into Brother Eye zombies.
Knock on wood.
And Future's End ends right as they get set up for their next big event, Convergence, which we'll talk about on a future episode. For some reason, I just feel like the things in this aren't going to last.
I think you're right. I agree with you, but when we get into the Aquaman stories... We really need to look at this as a possible future and not get hung up over it. Because there's certain things that occur in the Aquaman story And I'm going to call it the Aquaman story, even though it's Aquaman and Aquaman and the others.
Yeah, two-parter.
There's things that occur in that story that are kind of fun to see, but if 5 years from now that's not what is happening, it's not like I'm going to go yell at Jeff Parker, well, specifically Dan Jurgens, since he wrote both parts of that story. It's not like I'm going to go throw eggs at his house or something.
Yeah. All right. Well, so, you know, and the reason we're even giving this an episode is it is a big push in DC right now with this whole Futures End concept. And so it's such a big push that, as we've been alluding to, in September of this past year, or this year, 2014, every single DC title jumped forward 5 years. So instead of having Aquaman, whatever number was supposed to come out, let's just say 27.
It was in the 30s. Come okay. on, man.
Ah, whatever. Instead, it was Aquaman 1, but Futures End.
No, it was Futures End, Aquaman 1.
Yeah, there you go.
Futures End, Aquaman, and the others 1. And here's where I get confused. So I understand this. My Aquaman disappeared for a month. My Aquaman and the others disappeared for the month.
Yeah.
What did Booster Gold replace?
Nothing. Booster Gold, we'll talk about the Booster Gold issue. That was just single one-shot.
But I mean, what title didn't get published so that there could be a Booster Gold one-shot?
I think none. I think they just added one.
Hmm. Well, that's not 52.
They're already below 52. For a long time, DC was publishing 52 titles every month, but I think they are below that right now. So it's okay.
Well, that's a good choice on there.
Okay, so of these issues, the only ones that you've read were the two-part Aquaman story and the Booster Gold issue. So let's start with those, and then I'll wrap up the issue by just giving you some non-spoilerly brief thoughts on the other issues I read. So I'll admit, though, I got sucked into this. I like time travel stories. I thought it seemed interesting, and I pre-order a lot of my comics, and so I pre-ordered many more than I should have. I got really sucked into this, and so I pre-ordered issues of things I don't even read monthly just to see, because I thought I read all the descriptions and I thought these sounded the most interesting.
Well, and I'll make a confession, I almost bought the Booster Gold.
I'm surprised you didn't. Both of us are Booster Gold fans.
I really like Booster Gold. Yeah. I was excited about Booster Gold getting a title-ish sort of title, because he hasn't been around since they canceled Justice League International so long ago.
And did you notice how this tied into that?
Yes, I did. So, I did. Yeah. Well, but we can get into that.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you talk about pre-ordering it, so I went to the comic book shop, popped it open, and then I did something I never did. I turned to the back.
The last page.
Because what I wanted to know is, am I going to have to read something else to make this make sense? And it ends in such a way, now that I've read it, I think I could have tolerated it as a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is going somewhere else next.
Well,
where I feel like the Aquaman story stopped.
You know what? Let's just do Booster Gold.
Okay.
But and then we do have, I did read one issue of the weekly series, but I'll do that later. Okay, so Booster Gold. Let's just start there, because this was my favorite. Let me look at my pile here. Well, it's one of my top ones, and because I love Booster Gold, I like, and when it comes to a time travel story, you gotta have
Booster Gold.
Yeah, because he's outside of time. The last time we saw him, as Daniel was just saying, was at the end of the Justice League International series. A second Booster Gold came and talked to his past self, and well, that's what we thought until we read this issue. And so it seemed a little bit weird, and then the issue just ends and we don't really get a resolution to who were these two different Booster Golds. And maybe I'll ask you, Daniel, what I gathered from reading this issue is that it wasn't a future version of Booster Gold. This is an alternate parallel universe version of Booster Gold.
He straight out says it. I am a older other you. I'm a different version of you.
I think it might be a pre-New 52.
And that's what I'm wondering. Is this the pre-52 Booster Gold time cop? Because he's got the uniform. He's got a little little patch on it.
He also has his sister, Michelle, who you've read a lot of Booster Gold from, and the pre-Flashpoint universe, right?
And she is in that series.
Yes.
And he saved her. And that Booster, by the way, is a lot more mature. Where the Booster that we see that's the younger Booster is definitely less mature. He's still got the big star on his chest. Where older Booster is like trying to analyze and figure out what's going on, and to be honest, is willing to sacrifice the most important things for him to keep everyone else safe. But yeah, I mean, it's two very different boosters. But when you read that booster, it does feel like the pre-Flashpoint booster.
Well, if you, and then when, let me just pick up this issue for a second. So this issue came out on September 24th, 2014. And the last page is the most telling of what's happening. And this totally sets up the Convergent event, right? Is that what you're feeling?
Well, the thing is, I think you might be reading a little bit more into Convergence than I am.
Like, I know more about what's happening?
No, I think that Convergence is a non-impactful two-month event where they're just trying to cover for the fact that they're moving their offices.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about, I do want to talk to you about that on a different episode, this whole, what is Convergence in the DC universe? But, shoot, I mean, I guess I'll have to just say a little bit about it right now, because we know that it has something to do with Brainiac. Taking different, do you know about this already?
Just keep going.
Brainiac is going to be taking different people and places from the multiverse, and he's storing them in some sort of, we'll talk about, yeah. He's storing them.
Is someplace. He storing them maybe in a storage van? Like maybe he's packing them all up in like maybe New York City and then driving them across
country. I don't think it's exactly like that. I feel like it's almost like in little, like in some sort of dome thing. Well, we'll talk about that in a different episode. But the main point is, we see, right? I'm pretty sure Brainiac is the character we have talking who we never see in this issue. And he's talking to the two different boosters. And we've got we have the new 52 booster and the pre-Flashpoint booster, both interacting. And by the end of it, let's see, the very last page is where I think something big happens. Actually,
well, they talk about somebody is at a platform outside of time and space trying to get information from Booster about something called Vanishing Point.
Vanishing Point is his like hideout with Rip Hunter, yeah.
Who, spoiler,
I don't know. No, oh, okay. Tell me.
Rip Hunter is actually Booster's son.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, they keep asking him about this Vanishing Point, and young Booster breaks, trying to keep Michelle alive.
That's right.
Yeah. And an old Booster, he's holding it. And so you've got this cliffhanger that basically they have this information about Vanishing Point to whoever this interrogator is.
Brainiac, I think.
Who's tied to OMAC because Kevin OMAC is there.
Actually, it is Brainiac. Look at those robots. They have the Brainiac symbol right on them.
No.
Okay.
So, I mean, you sure, Convergence, were they thinking that far ahead? Well, they've bought the, you know, they rented the offices a while ago.
No, they were thinking that far ahead because two issues came out this month or around this time. This one and then a Superman issue that also showed some alternate universes. So, yeah, they were planting the seeds for Convergence.
Wow. But Matt, this is the new 52. There is no multiple universes. Don't you remember that line?
No, I don't remember that.
It was all going to be clean. It was going to be one universe. There was not going to be a multiverse.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. No time travel. What?
They have Earth 2, though, so we know that there's
Yeah, exactly. But do you remember in their early days it was going to be so uncomplicated? Okay. And now what do we have? We've got Convergence, which is multiverse. We've got Earth 2. We've got
World's End, which World's is about End. Earth 2 being destroyed.
We got multiversity. We've got Booster jumping around and doing time travel. We've got the Teen Titans jumping around and doing time travel.
Oh, really? I haven't. Oh, yeah, that's true.
So this was going to be our uncomplicated DC universe that everyone can understand. And it took them, 3 years to the point where we now have a multiversity map and we've got people like Red Robin jumping around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
even though, again, they were saying, you know, they're going to keep it clean, nothing like time travel, even though the Legion of Superheroes had a time traveling book at the beginning.
That's true.
That was horrible.
I give this issue 4 stars. I thought originally the villain was probably Brother Eye, but now I'm seeing it's Brainiac. I liked that there was his heroic version of his sister, Michelle, who, you know, that's like we're saying, the pre-Flashpoint booster sister. Because this new 52 booster, I think he has a sister, Michelle, but she's not a hero.
Dead.
Oh, she's dead?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so overall, 4 stars. What did you give it?
I'd give it a 3.5.
3.5, all right. We didn't talk about issue number one of just the Future Zen series, which actually came out first. So most of the issues we're talking about came out in September, but this particular issue came out on, got it right here, May 7th, 2014. I picked it up. It's, you know, Future's End is a weekly series, all telling stories 5 years in the future, and it's, you know, setting things up for this big Convergence event, I believe. But for our first issue, it was kind of confusing. It didn't blow me away. There was virtually no way that you could really like pick up on the story threads without some sort of prior knowledge to a lot of these different characters. So let's see, what do I have here? Batman Beyond appears briefly, but there's not a lot of explanation to what happened in that free comic book. So if you hadn't read that, I don't think this would have been a very good read. We've got Grifter in this issue. Firestorm and Stormwatch, Stormwatch are there. Green Arrow dies in this issue. You heard about that probably, right?
I did hear about it. Here's one thing. I haven't read these, but here's the sense that I get. They're doing more interesting things with some of these characters who had failed books here than they did in their actual books. So Firestorm has got a huge, huge thing going on here.
In Futures End.
He's a big part of it, isn't he?
I haven't read very much of it. Only these issues that will, I mean.
Well, my understanding is there's interesting things going on.
Oh, that's right. Because you listen to podcasts where they talk about Firestorm, so you know what's happening.
Well, I've heard them mention, you know, that there's some stuff going on. You say Grifter. You know, Grifter's book was okay, but here he is yet again coming back. Booster Gold. Justice League International really should have been titled Booster and given him a little bit more focus because I'm funny that way. But, you know, here we've got an entire one-shot about Booster after having not seen him for, 16 to 18 months?
Yeah.
So there's interesting stuff going on.
Yeah.
That, I mean, even that Booster Gold where you see the Kevin O'Mac, the Kevin version of O'Mac, that O'Mac book was so bad. And how he was used was so poor. Even when he showed up in Justice League International, it was like, just take this guy out. And it's just a few panels that he's in this Booster Gold thing. But I was more interested in what he was doing in this than any panel of his O'Mac book.
I kind of agree. It seems like, as you read some of the other issues, that there is sort of almost an army of O'Macs, like you were saying. Yeah, I guess just to wrap up in this issue number one, it looks like the evil AI of Brother Eye already exists in this 5 years in the future timeline, but I'm not sure if it's because Batman Beyond accidentally brought back a cyborg with him when he...
Brother Eye was in existence from the opening of the New 52.
Right, but I don't know if his takeover had started yet because...
But that Brother Eye is not a nice guy. That Brother Eye is an evil satellite that Batman's trying to fight. And,
he created that with Mr. Terrific, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think. He's fighting Shade, and him and Shade are having some issues.
And what is that? Dark?
In New 52. I mean, this Brother Eye has never been a nice guy. He's never been a nice guy. He took over a guy named Kevin's life and made him into an OMAC, into his own personal weapon. You can't say that the Brother Eye at the beginning of the New 52 was a nice guy. You could probably say that he was evil, though.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is I don't know if his cyborgs are already there in this 5 years in the future, or if Batman Beyond brought back a cyborg and then that started this evolution of those.
But we do know that 5 years in the future, he has one OMAC. He has at least one cyborg because he has Kevin. Now, he could have others.
Oh, that's true.
So, theoretically, that takeover has already begun for the moment that the New 52 opens.
Perfect. Let's dive into Aquaman and Aquaman the others. These can be talked about as a single story, but Aquaman... or I should say Futures End Aquaman number one came out on September 3rd and Futures End Aquaman and the others came out on September 24th. So you had to wait a little bit to get the second part. So let's dive in. These are the last two that you've read before I just give you some brief.
Well, and so here's my general thoughts on Aquaman and the others and Aquaman. You don't need to know what's going on with Futures End to read this.
No.
You really could take this entire story as a future 5 years in the future story. This is where your characters are heading potential. There's no mention of Brother Eye. There's no mention of OMAC. There is mention of a war with Darkseid.
Yeah, that was cool.
And that it impacted Atlantis. But in many ways, this is a very small story in the sense that it's really about Atlantean politics and the Aquaman family.
Let me just say this real quick. It actually specifies that 5 years ago, there was an apocalypse war. And so that's our present day. So that means any day now in the New 52, there's going to be a war with Darkseid and an apocalypse.
And I'm assuming that has something to do with Earth's End, since there is a Darkseid over there.
Well, yes. Yeah, let's talk about that in a second here.
I'm assuming. I haven't read any of that.
It looks like Arthur convinced Atlantis to help the surface people during this war, but it left Atlantis in shambles, and it still hasn't been repaired. And so now Aquaman is sort of seen as a villain because he's still trying to, you know, mend relationships between surface dwellers and Atlanteans, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what... There's a lot of politics going on.
Oh, Mira hates...
Mira hates him.
Aquaman because of what he did, or because of this choice.
Well, but I don't think it's only that choice. Mira and Aquaman are not together.
Oh, it does seem like he possibly cheated on her.
Possibly cheating. I believe he isn't cheating on her. I don't think they're together.
I'm saying...
Oh, in the
maybe
past.
He did cheat on her, and then that led to his relationship with...
Iwara. So... Iwara is the woman who's sharing the bed with Arthur at this point, though Mira is still a prominent person within the politics of...
How is that?
Well, here's what I'm wondering, because I don't remember if they ever call her Queen Mira.
You think they got married and then...
She does have a crown on the cover. Yeah. I think it's because and I'm going to mispronounce it, Exabel, you know, because she is a princess from there.
Okay.
And what becomes clear in this is that the gateway between the two... aquacultures have opened, because some of these people, and part of the strife in the politics is the addition of these new aqua people into Atlantean culture.
Yeah, that's been pretty good in the regular Aquaman series.
And she theoretically would be their leader.
Okay.
Of the Exebel side of things, because they do call Arthur the king at times.
Okay, so I open up a page with a big full page splash of Aquaman. I love his Future's End outfit, his costume. Do you love it?
No, I don't love it.
Seriously? This is...
I'm not in love with the art.
I mean, just costume design wise.
Here's my
problem. I love his costume design.
The costume's okay. It's fine. My problem is as I go against this art, I have acquired a taste for Paul Pelletier. And so if it doesn't look like a clone of Paul Pelletier and it's Aquaman, then my Aquaman looks funny to me.
Okay, so in this story, the others are still around and they're trying to help Arthur with... Atlantis Island, which is this place that he's hoping will bring visibility to the needs of Atlantis, but it's on the surface, I think.
Yes.
So
he's basically making a little enclave for Atlantis so that the surface world can find out about Atlantis's needs and perhaps begin to do things like sponsor trade and relief.
Do you feel like the others are almost like his... entourage? I mean, at this point, it's not like his team. It's like his...
I feel like they're his inner circle.
It's like his administration. Like, they go and make his proclamations happen.
They're help building this place.
Yeah.
And you do get the sense that they have some authority, which, again, is additional tension when you think about Atlantean politics, because they hate surface dwellers. So, basically, he's brought in a group of surface dwellers to help administer over them, which, of course, they hate.
Mm-hmm. There are two other big things that I picked out from this issue, and then I'll let you take the last word. First, some of the others had mentioned that there were doubles of people walking around on Earth. So, like we've already talked about, at some point, the Earth 2 people end up on Prime Earth, and I guess Earth 2 will cease to exist because of some sort of war. So that's one thing. Second thing is something weird happens with a bunch of the ancient Atlantean artifacts, and it ended with a surface dweller who is, what's that guy's name?
Aaron.
Yeah, but what's his grandpa's name?
The Operative.
Operative's grandson becomes the Other, not, you know, the group's name is the Others, but he becomes the Other. He's wearing these gold artifacts of Atlantis, and apparently now he has become some sort of ambassador.
Yeah, he is using the artifacts to represent the aqua, you know, the under the sea culture, Ariel's Little Mermaid land.
Oh, yeah.
And he, being a surface dweller, he's becoming kind of a point of contact where those two cultures can combine.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we've seen these artifacts spread out amongst the others, and now as the person that has them all, he is the other.
And he is, his strength is increased due to it. It's a nice little story arc for Aaron. Because as you know him and spend time with him, he is, you know, his grandfather's always kind of giving him a hard time about who he is and what he does. You know, he's not good enough sort of thing. But really, he shows that he stands up, he's strong, and he becomes someone who really matters. Because this does show 5 years from now, he's still really just a guy who flies grandpa's plane. And by the end of it, he's no longer. He is a hero on his own, standing tall.
Yeah. And who's the person that seems to be his girlfriend? One of the others.
I want to say Sky.
Sky. And that's somebody's sister, right? No.
No, she has got the oracle power.
Okay.
She's a Native American. There's another, in the original Aquaman and the Others arc, their Oracle passes away, and I can't remember her name off the top of my head, even though she's got a spoiler. She's got a casting, a little trailer at Superman v. Batman. I can't remember her name, but she passes away, and her sister does wind up showing up in Aquaman and the Others and is becoming part of the team as another Oracle, but I can't even remember right at the moment she even has an object.
Okay.
Because her sister's object is with the their new seer, whose, again, name I can't remember.
Yeah. All right, so what did you give this? I think I gave this, well, I guess I have it right here, actually. For a final score, I'll give this total story 3 stars.
What?
Oh, boy, you liked it a lot more than me.
I would give this a 4, because it, at the end of the day, it, yeah, you've got the trade negotiations of the prequels, but it's a really fun what-if story. And that's the way I've treated it, is this is a what-if story.
Yeah, that's how I should have thought about these as what-if stories. That's...
It may not happen. I mean, obviously, Batman Beyond is trying to stop it from happening.
I have a feeling he's going to be successful.
Well,
can you imagine if he's not successful and a bunch of the heroes are dead or like zombies, basically?
But I mean, there's characters with you, when you look at the Others, you've established that they're all alive for 5 years. If this is what does happen. So there has to be the possibility that any one of them could die other than Aquaman at any moment. So to me, this is just a what if.
So you gave it how many stars?
I give it 4.
4 stars.
Because it's fun.
Okay. We actually have some feedback from one of our listeners on Grayson. So this is Futures in Grayson number 1. And I'll tell you my thoughts on it after we read this feedback. Here's from Dave Clement. He says, I read Grayson and didn't care for it. The story wasn't as much a story as it was a gimmick. It started a few years ahead of the current Future's End storyline, and they continued to go back in time 3 years every other page. It was too hard to follow. So, Daniel, I'm going to hand this issue over to you. Just start flipping through, and it starts at...
Well, it looks like he's just won a soccer game.
Well, he's in this... Yeah, I won't tell you too much about this.
Wow.
Let me see what happens on the first page.
He's at the end of his rope.
Oh, yeah. So every moment that you read goes further back in the past. So every page you turn goes back in time. So it doesn't. It's not linear exactly. Well, it's reverse linear. But,
oh, hello.
So basically, Grayson now works for the Russian... I guess, yeah, the Russians.
The KGBBs.
Yeah, the KGBBs is in there. And... Helena is there as well, and yeah, the story just it was the least Future's End-ish story of any of them. It doesn't have, I mean, maybe there's some general references to things, but not really. It just, I think this could have been a story in his own issue or in his regular series if they wanted to go this direction with the character.
This seems like a lot of sex, drugs, and rock and roll
for Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
Well, he's a spy, kind of James Bondish. It really reminds me, this series, of the old S.H.I.E.L.D. from...
It's like every time I turn, every page at the top, it just says earlier.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't tell you how far back they're going. Every page turn is back in time.
He's Robin.
It's going all the way back past...
Yeah, this makes... I'm very confused. This does seem a little gimmicky.
So, yeah, it goes even before he was just the Spiral agent and into when he was Robin and then into when he was a kid.
I don't know why this... I don't know what the point is.
Yeah, this one didn't have to be a Future's End one. So, I mean, as a story, it was fine. Let me see if I can find a score I gave it. Yeah, I just thought it was just okay. I don't think I have a score handy. Oh, yeah, here we go. 3. So, yeah, there was a mention about a war with Earth 2, but... Not the worst issue. It could have been better, though. So that's Grayson. That's my review of that.
That is not something I'm too excited about.
Now, you know, let's take a break here before I talk about some other issues. What I'm interested to know is, with the way these issues exist, where they're just what-if stories, like you said, standing alone from the regular series, how are they going to release these in collected editions? Is it going to be collected edition of all these one-shots?
Why can't they do it like Flashpoint?
Oh, yeah.
They could probably put some themes around some of these.
Okay.
I mean,
that's a good idea, actually.
I have issues with how DC trades some stuff anyway. So what's going to happen is they'll choose the least the worst possible scenario to trade it. Well, because that's what they do.
Every September, they have some sort of theme. So last year, it was the Villains Month. The year before that, it was the Zero Issues. So Zero Issues, those are easy to stick into the collected editions.
Here's my problem. Okay, so this is a collection problem that I have with DC.
Okay, but then I want to say what I was about to say.
Where's Black Manta? Where's Ocean Master?
Oh, those are not, they've never been collected?
I have not seen those issues. We just released the next volume of Aquaman, which is where Ocean Master and Black Manta should be. Time-wise, and they're not there. Where are they? Now, I own them.
So you've read them.
I've read them, but where are they in a collection?
Okay, so you're talking about the Villains Month. They have their own individual one-shots, and they don't exist in a collected version.
Yeah, so like, so when I look at Aquaman and the others in Aquaman, I could see this going into either one of those trades. I could honestly see them, if they were smart, because they've usually done Aquaman fans right, they would take both of these and put them in both trades. So that if you were just an Others reader, you would be able to get the whole story arc. If you were just an Aquaman reader, you'd be able to get the whole story arc. What I'm guessing is going to happen is none of the above, and it's going to be done in such a way that you're going to have to search and hide to find things. Because I don't know how Booster Gold fits into their publication strategy here.
I sort of feel like the only place you may be able to find some of those is in the huge Mammoth collection that collects every single one shot into one big collected edition. And those are like, I think they sell those for about $100.
Yeah. So who's going to buy that? Not me. I got bills to pay, buddy.
I agree. I had thought of this idea before we started this episode. I didn't do it, but I still think it might be worth it. I kind of want to read how they, so the reason I bought the issues I did is because of how they were solicited. So what they said about the story piqued my interest, or I was already following the character. So I'm going to read the solicitation for the Aquaman one, and I want you to tell me if you think it lived up to it. Ready?
Okay.
Aquaman, number one. Mara has claimed the throne of Atlantis for herself, and she sentenced her unfaithful husband, Aquaman, to death. That is not true.
She begins to work with the Sea King. And
he wasn't sentenced to death, though, was he?
I don't remember. By getting the Sea King, isn't she virtually doing that?
Maybe, but then listen to this. The dead king leads the others in a final assault on Atlantis to end Mara's reign forever.
Nope.
That did not happen at all.
Did not happen.
So that's flat out lie.
Mara's working with the dead king.
Booster Gold, here's the... I think this is probably right. This is solicitation says, trapped out of time on a world that defines reason, Booster Gold struggles to escape the fate that has held him and so many forgotten heroes captive. That's more descriptive than what we actually get from the book. But that's true. Now we know in light of Convergence that it is true.
But do they really talk about forgotten heroes in here?
They don't. That's what I'm saying. But it is true in the sense of what's happening with Convergence. It's Brainiac has collected all these forgotten heroes because they're in past universes that don't exist anymore.
I mean, the only real references we get to other heroes are to a Scarab, which would be Beetle.
Oh, yeah.
And then we see Omac Kevin. So, I mean,
yeah.
Who's the forgotten hero?
Well, Michelle, maybe. I'm just saying she was in pre-52. So, okay. So, Grayson, which I
guess mentioned. The Legion's in there. Everyone's forgetting them.
Yeah. Okay. Grayson, I didn't tell you this, but it came out September 3rd, 2014. Here's a solicitation. Branded a traitor, Dick Grayson has become the most powerful hero in a newly resurgent and dominant Mother Russia. And now he must battle the beast from the east in one final struggle for supremacy.
There was a butt?
The beast is in the story, the KG beast.
Did they fight?
Not exactly.
Well, okay, move on.
All right, well then, I'm going to talk to you about Flash now a little bit. This was actually... Now, I've been reading Flash regularly up until this issue, and this is where I think I stopped at either after this one or the next one, but here's the solicitation. It's the final showdown between the Flash and his future self for control of the Speed Force, with Wally West's life hanging in the balance.
Was it?
Actually, that's pretty descriptive. I don't want to... Are you reading the Flash trades?
Well, the trades, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not up to the point where Wally's in.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil this for you, but all I will say is... This issue was the best of the set in the sense that everything that's been happening in the Flash series is directly addressed in this Future's End issue. So because there's already been some time travel happening in Flash, this just fits right in. They didn't have to make this Futures End, The Flash number one. It could have been the next issue. And this, of all the ones you were talking earlier about how they'll be collected, this one is
you
a...
You just put it in Flash.
It has to be. In fact, the story that happens in Flash every month hangs on this issue.
Okay.
So I'd have to give it a 5 stars just for that. Like the creator was able to use the concept of Flashpoint, or not Flashpoint, of Futures End, but not disrupt his own story. So definitely appreciated that. But I give it a 5 in sense of that. But when it came to actual story, I'm looking at my score. It looks like I gave it a 3.5. Sorry, Flash. But yeah,
that's like Booster Gold territory right there.
You know, I like the Flash. And so I tried to start collecting monthly around March of this year. And I just decided to give up on it. It's okay, but it's better read in trade, I think. Have you been liking it in trade?
Yeah, it's gotten better. You know what I really liked was the Forever Evil Rogues Rebellion.
Oh, I haven't read that yet.
I really like that.
Okay. All right, two more stories to talk about, and then we'll end this episode. So I'll let you pick. Do you want to first talk about the two-part story that had to do with Earth 2 and World's Finest? Or do you want to talk about the two-part story with Justice League and Justice League United?
Okay, mix them up so I can't see what's what.
Okay. Well,
I have now forgotten what they were.
Okay.
Let's do this one.
Justice League and Justice League United. Now, this made me the
Justice
most
League
mad.
Canada?
Well, it was going to be Canada and they changed it. This makes me the most mad because I did buy these just because of the solicitation and it did not live up at all. So let me read this to you. Tell me, this sounds interesting, doesn't it, Daniel?
Okay.
The mystery of the Martian Manhunter is revealed at last as his decades-long plan for world domination comes to fruition.
What?
Okay, that's the first part, and then let me read the second. Justice League United,
but Martian Manhunter's trying to dominate the world.
Well, the thing that made me interested,
because by the way, he's hanging out with Aquaman right at the moment.
Well, let me read
They're
this.
Very friendly.
The thing that made me interested in that is it's a decades long plan, and so that means whether this Futures End thing ever happens or not, that means it is true because that if they change the future,
it would need to at least have been 11 years long.
Yeah, okay, so let me read then Justice League United. In the concluding chapter of this epic story that began in this month's Justice League, Futures End number one, the armies of Mars rise against the unsuspecting population of Earth, and only the combined might of the Justice League and the Legion of Superheroes can stand against them. This is 100% not true. That never happens. So, here's what does happen. Martian Manhunter is completely a good guy this whole story. There's never any talk of a decades-long plan. It's a flat-out lie. It's crazy. Back on Earth about 5 years ago, they decided that they would make a prison on Mars to keep the worst prisoners because they're too bad to be on Earth.
Makes sense.
And
it's like the pipeline on Flash.
So, yeah, exactly. So, Martian Manhunter is the warden of that prison. He doesn't secretly turn bad and have a plan for world domination. And when it says the armies of Mars rise against unsuspecting population of Earth, loosely you could say that maybe if there was a jailbreak and they are fighting against heroes, that maybe they could be considered an army of Mars. But the way they write it, it makes it sound like
these solicitations bite.
Yeah, it's really bad. And I also didn't feel as invested in the story because I haven't been reading Justice League United prior to this, so a lot of the characters I wasn't really familiar with. But I have to give this about a 1 or a 2, not just on the story, but also just because the solicitations were so much lying. It was crazy, crazy bad. So I'll say 2 stars. Thoughts?
It works for me.
The only thing that was
cool, because I'll be reading it in the future.
One thing that was cool is I haven't read the new 52 Captain Atom. I know you have, so maybe you can help me with this. He was acting a lot like Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen. Is that what he's like in New 52?
Yeah, it's the way he is.
I like it.
In New 52. I'm old school, buddy. I like the old Captain Atom. I like the Captain Atom who's a rough and tumble soldier.
Okay.
Well, pilot. But I like that Captain Atom.
Okay. I kind of liked it.
Not a metaphysical, hey, if you did drugs, maybe this book would make more sense.
Is that what?
It sometimes feels that way.
All right.
No offense.
Last one. Last story here. We've got the two-parter starting in... Oh, I didn't tell you the dates for Justice League. So Justice League came out September 17th, 2014, and Justice League United from Futures End came out September 10th, 2014. So check back in time for those. All right. Ready for the final?
I'm ready.
Big finale. Did I tell you Flash came out on September 24th? Oh, now I did. The finale is this. We've been hearing all about it. Earth 2 had to do an exodus to Prime Earth. Are we going to find out more about that? How could we not?
There's an entire title about Earth 2. Yeah,
so Futures End, Earth 2. Well, guess what? They don't talk about it barely at all. Here's what it is about. Mr. Terrific and Sonya, who was one of the...
Oh, by the way, Mr. Terrific is originally from Earth 1.
Yes. So Mr. Terrific from Earth 1 and Sonya from the World's Army. Remember her? Kind of like a high-ranking person. I won't spoil it because I know you're eventually going to read these. But they're the featured protagonists. Terry Sloan, who's one of the villains from Earth 2, is there too. He's working with his... They call them dupes. Doubles, right? So the two Terry Sloans from Earth 2 and Earth and Prime Earth are working together, and they've developed goggles.
Goggles.
When you put them on, you can tell.
Do goggles lower the light level?
No.
Will they allow you to swim underwater?
No, not at all.
But tell me about these goggles, Matt. I'm gripping the microphone.
If you put it on, you can tell if a person is from Earth 2 or Prime Earth.
Or maybe you could walk up and say, hey.
Where are you from?
Where are you from, bro?
That's about it. That's kind of the story.
That seems like an evil master plan.
Oh, should we read what the solicitation was for that?
Sure.
Because I basically just told you what the plot is. Okay, Michael Holt, that's Mr. Terrific, has survived the war between the two worlds. He's called home. Now he's taking drastic measures to ensure that there will be no more war, regardless of the cost. Seems
like
right.
His goggles.
Yeah.
With these goggles, there'll be only peace.
So I thought that this would be a two-part story into World's Finest, because why wouldn't it, right? And I feel like it was sort of marketed that way. But they actually say, at the end of this issue, the story continues when Earth 2 goes to war in Earth 2 issue number 27 and Earth 2 World's End issue number 1. So now we're telling you about this for the first time, listeners, but World's End, much like Future's End, is another...
Spoiler.
What?
A world's gonna end.
Yeah, and it's a weekly series. So DC currently has three weekly series. Future's End every week, World's End every week, and
Batman
Eternal every week.
I read none of them.
Me as well. I am interested to know what destroyed Earth 2, but it seems like it has to be Darkseid, right?
There's a Darkseid.
Do you think there's two Darkseids, or is there one Darkseid?
I think there's more than one Darkseid. I mean, we're talking about different Earths, hence different universes in the multiverse.
That's kind of what I thought, too, but I wonder if Darkseid transcends the multiverse somehow.
Well, I'm thinking that it's different ones, and that perhaps what is going to happen is, since our universe doesn't have a Darkseid at the moment, that he's going to come from that universe to this universe. Because why wouldn't he want to try to conquer
our universe? Has a Darkseid.
But where's he at? Where's
I don't know. He's in Justice League Volume 1.
Well, he hasn't been around for 5 years, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. And in conclusion, Future's End, World's Finest, number one. I didn't tell you this, but...
Please tell me that it's about a story between Batman and Superman 5 years before New 52.
No, Earth 2... Or sorry, this issue came out on September 10th. The one we just talked about, Earth 2, came out September 3rd. This story... Oh, wait. Solicitation, anybody? It's fun to read these and see how wrong they were. And then this is the last thing we've got here for you today. Worlds. Oh, doesn't. I can't find. I'll try this. Fine. There we go.
Found Googling it. Music.
Power Girl must break into Cadmus Island to free Huntress, but she ends up a prisoner herself. Do you want to say something funny?
I was going to say, usually with Power Girl, she breaks into Cadmus Island to save Huntress and winds up on a date with fashionable shoes.
This is hilarious that this happened, because I'm on the last page. And that's when she gets put in prison. That's like the big ending of the issue. So the solicitation, that's actually the best one. This is exactly what happened. The whole issue is Power Girl going around, facing some OMAC guards, and then she doesn't save her at the end. She actually gets put into prison as well. That's the entire issue. She does face Deathstroke. Deathstroke's featured. But yeah, these issues kind of sucked. I mean...
Again, I only read the Aquaman stuff. And I was fine with it. I was having fun. But I didn't have baggage. I wasn't carrying around that there's this big Futures End arc going on. I said to myself, it's a what-if story about Aquaman's future in 5 years. And it's going to be a what-if story because there's people who die in it and there's people who haven't died yet. So I have to look at it as a what-if, because otherwise, like Aquaman and the others, there's a lot less tension in it. Because it's not like one of them can just go off and die at any moment. And let's remember, since they introduced the others, two others have died.
Yeah, that's true. So, Daniel, that's where we're going to leave it. Future's End, you know, when it comes to the one-shots, not worth it. Maybe the story will culminate in a great way when it comes to Convergence, or maybe you're right. These are just meant to be fun little stories, not to be taken too seriously. Any last words?
Be safe, kids. Make good choices.
Did you see World's Finest changed to Superman Batman of Earth 2 stories set before the Darkseid War?
I didn't. It makes sense.
So Huntress and Power Girl no longer have their own title.
I was reading Superman Batman last night, and at the end of it, Huntress and Power Girl finally see a way into Earth 2, but they don't get to go back.
I'm kind of sad about it. I liked World's Finest. It wasn't my favorite book, but I liked it.